On today's program, we'll take a look at how God's standards differ from our standards. We'll also read and discuss the daily mass readings. Lots to talk about. Stay tuned, because here we go. You know, sitting here, I just realized something that could be catastrophic. Believe it or not, I forgot my beverage du jour today. Yes, I am going beverageless. You talk about taking a risk. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and I am doing this program prior to heading off to a speaking engagement today in Havertown, Pennsylvania. I'll be speaking at Annunciation BVM Church. So in order to get this show done, I'm having to squeeze it in, and I just neglected to get my beverage du jour. And I thought that as much as you like that part of the program, you'd prefer some content rather than me sipping my beverage. But don't worry, we'll be back tomorrow with a beverage du jour. I had a great time last night speaking in Mahwah, New Jersey. I got to speak at the Church of the Immaculate Conception. And what was really great for me, in addition to having a great crowd there, met some really nice people, I got to meet some people that I consider to be old friends, even though we've never met in person. My friend Bill was there, and Bill was kind enough to give me an old book, which he knows. I guess I make no secret about my two loves. Well, I've got a couple. I love old Catholic books. I love some beverages that I use on the program, and I also like sweets. So Bill was kind enough to give me a copy of an old book. Really looks neat. I can't wait to read it. And by the way, Bill, I know you listen. Thank you. And my friend Tony got me a crumb cake from a bakery in Hackensack, New Jersey, which is phenomenal. I love it. I'm a crumb cake fan. And this is one of the best, if not the best, that I've ever had. So, Tony, thank you so much for doing that as well. But it was just really nice to be able to meet people who listen to this program, people who have heard me on Relevant Radio, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I've got a pretty hectic schedule for the next couple of weeks. I'll be heading to Louisiana in less than 2 weeks, followed by a trip to New Mexico. And I've got some in-between appearances as well that are more or less local. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited to spread the good news, especially during the Advent season. But remember that the Advent retreat will begin on this program on November the 30th, even though I'll be in Louisiana that night. I'll make sure that I record the programs before I leave. We got all kinds of good things coming up. We will be praying the St. Andrew Novena, sometimes referred to as the Christmas Novena. And I really will tell you more about that if you've never heard of it. Tell you more about that as we get closer in the next few days. We'll also be looking at some special meditations that I picked out for the Advent season. And we'll be reading the daily Mass readings, which are really special during Advent. They're specifically chosen to get us in the proper frame of mind to welcome the Lord on Christmas Day. So that's what we'll be doing on the program. November 30th is when it all kicks off. You don't need to do anything except show up. If you can't do every day, that's fine. Just do what you can. I'd like you to do every day. I think you'll benefit from doing every day, but it's a busy time of year, so if you don't have the ability to listen every day, just listen when you can. I'll be happy to have you here. Please let your friends know as well. Let your friends know that we do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio, and that the podcast can be downloaded from blogtalkradio.com. You can listen to the last 5 episodes at my website, followingthetruth.com, or you can download it from iTunes. No matter what you do, it's going to be free of charge, so none of these downloads will cost you anything, which is, you know, that's the way I want it. I do take donations for this program, and of course, I'm very grateful for your donations, and I thank you for them. But I want to make it that the program, there's no cost for the program. I like the idea of you being able to donate if you want to, but I don't want there to be any cost for the show. I want to do it free of charge, if at all possible. So that's why we do it the way we do it. Let's see, any other news? I was on the Sunrise Morning Show today. I woke up bright and early to talk about a great scripture passage. This was one that after the terrorist attacks in Paris on Friday, I just felt inspired to take a look at this, well, actually the entire psalm, but the first verse, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I think that's the message for us today. Even though we have these difficulties in our lives and craziness in the world, we have to remember that God is present. He's with us. He's not off in the distance somewhere. He's right with us, and He is a help for us. He's a help and a source of strength for us. Make sure you turn to Him. He wants you to turn to Him. Don't try to fight all your battles by yourself. The Lord wants to be involved in your life. So we talked about that on the Sunrise Morning Show today. And I guess that's about it for news. Just know that if you would like me to come to your parish, I would love to do it. I'd love to speak at your parish. FollowingTheTruth.com is the best place to get in touch with me, to see my talks. And when I go to Louisiana in a couple weeks, we're going to be taping some of my talks and putting them out on DVDs. They'll also be available online. So in case you'd like to see any of those, I'll make sure that I let you know about them as soon as they become available. Okay, that's it for news. Let's move on with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us another day. We're very grateful for all of the blessings that you give to us. We thank you for the gift of our lives. We thank you for the gift of our faith. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your willingness to be present wherever we are, your willingness to listen to us, and your unconditional love. We're grateful for that, Father. We ask you to help us, to strengthen us, to allow us to follow you at all times, even when it may get difficult. We ask you, Father, for your assistance so that we can draw other people close to you. But we can't do that by ourselves. We need you to help us. So we ask for your help with that. We ask you to increase our desire to grow closer to you, in particular during the Advent season. We want to make the most of the opportunity, so we ask for your help with that. We also ask you to help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who have just given up, who might feel hopeless, those who are dealing with addictions or financial difficulties, those torn by a decision, by a difficult decision that they have to make. Father, we know you can help all of these individuals out, and we ask you to do so. We also ask you to help us with our own personal needs, whatever they may be. And I present this show to you, Father. I ask you to take it over, to speak through me this day, to use my voice and my words to proclaim your message. But also we ask you to open our minds and our hearts so that we may hear the message you have for us. We ask for all these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for tuning into the program. Got lots of good things to talk about. My name is Gary Zimek, and in case you're a new listener, we're constantly picking up new listeners. I do this program every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m., approximately 8 p.m. I'm so used to saying that, but I've been loading up the program earlier. So whenever you can get to it, it's going to be there. Usually late afternoon, the program gets loaded up to Blog Talk Radio, and you can download it, listen to it from my player on followingthetruth.com, or get it from iTunes, however it works best for you. Just a great pleasure to be here and be able to do this program, to share the good news of Jesus Christ every day, Monday through Friday. Let's take a look at the Mass readings. This is Wednesday, November the 18th. The first reading is from the second book of Maccabees, chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. Most admirable and worthy of everlasting remembrance was the mother who saw her seven sons perish in a single day, yet bore it courageously because of her hope in the Lord. Filled with a noble spirit that stirred her womanly heart with manly courage, she exhorted each of them in the language of their ancestors with these words, "I do not know how you came into existence in my womb. It was not I who gave you the breath of life, nor was it I who set in order the elements of which each of you is composed. Therefore, since it is the Creator of the universe who shapes each man's beginning, as he brings about the origin of everything, he, in his mercy, will give you back both breath and life, because you now disregard yourselves for the sake of his law." Antiochus, suspecting insult in her words, thought he was being ridiculed. As the youngest brother was still alive, the king appealed to him not with mere words, but with promises on oath, to make him rich and happy if he would abandon his ancestral customs. He would make him his friend and entrust him with high office. When the youth paid no attention to him at all, the king appealed to the mother, urging her to advise her boy to save his life. After he had urged her for a long time, she went through the motions of persuading her son. In derision of the cruel tyrant, she leaned over close to her son and said in their native language, "Son, have pity on me, who carried you in my womb for 9 months, nursed you for 3 years, brought you up, educated and supported you to your present age. I beg you, child, to look at the heavens and the earth and see all that is in them. Then you will know that God did not make them out of existing things. And in the same way the human race came into existence. Do not be afraid of this executioner, but be worthy of your brothers and accept death, so that in the time of mercy I may receive you again with them." She had scarcely finished speaking when the youth said, "What are you waiting for? I will not obey the king's command. I obey the command of the law given to our fathers through Moses. But you, who have contrived every kind of affliction for the Hebrews, will not escape the hands of God." You know, we've been reading these excerpts, these passages from the book of Maccabees over the past couple of days. They present an incredibly beautiful picture of what it means to suffer or to stand up for one's faith. Honestly, when we look at these stories, we cringe because we can't imagine what it's like to go through that. And rightfully so. It is almost unimaginable to be forced to put your life on the line for your faith. And honestly, we have to ask ourselves the question, and I've been posing it, I'll pose it again, how would we react if this happened to us? If someone asked us to give up our life for our faith, would we be willing to do it? Now, while we would like to say yes, I'm sure we would all like to say yes, the question remains, what would we really do? What would we really do when it happens to us? And that's the important question that we really have to ask ourselves. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves when we ask that question, and not feel bad about answering that we might not be willing to do it. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to pray so that we can be able to one day, if necessary, stand up for our faith. So let's continue to do that. Let's continue while we are not under duress to pray for the grace that if ever does happen to us, that we would be able to respond in the same way, and that we would be able to say, "Yes, I'm willing to die for my faith." Again, it's unimaginable. It's something like we could never picture doing, but with our Lord's help, with the grace that he gives us, we can do things that we would ordinarily not be able to do. All right, sound good? Now, let's take a look at let's take a look at the responsorial psalm for today, which is Psalm 17. Lord, when my glory appears, my joy will be full. Hear, O Lord, a just suit, attend to my outcry. Hearken to my prayer from lips without deceit. My steps have been steadfast in your paths, my feet have not faltered. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my word. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings. But I in justice shall behold your face. On waking, I shall be content in your presence. And I honestly think the key thing for us to remember when it comes to having the courage to stand up, not only stand up for one's faith, but to actually be willing to die for one's faith, the key is that anybody who does that has to have a strong trust in the Lord and believe in his promises. And as much as we believe in his promises, or we like to say we believe in his promises, there are times when it just becomes too challenging for us. And giving up our lives could be one of those cases. It's really something to think about. Even if you never have to do it, it's good to be willing to do it. That just illustrates the fact that you have a really strong belief in the Lord and you truly believe in his promises. And if he tells us that you will have persecutions in this world, and if you're faithful until the end, then you'll have a great reward waiting for you in heaven. If we believe in him and he tells us that, then we're going to take him at his word. The gospel today, let's look at the gospel. It's a little bit long today. The readings are a little bit longer today, I'm noticing. Luke chapter 19. I have to say, this is a familiar story. This is one of my favorite stories. There are a few different versions of it in the gospels. Luke 19 verses 11 through 28. But this is a reminder for each one of us when it comes to sharing our gifts with others and doing something in this world to stand up for the Lord and to draw people closer to him. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, a nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, engage in trade with these until I return. His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, we do not want this man to be our king. But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called, to whom he had given the money, to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones. He replied, well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came and reported, your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more. To this servant, too, he said, you take charge of 5 cities. Then the other servant came and said, sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you were a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant. He said to him, with your own words, I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down, and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in the bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest. And to those standing by he said, take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, sir, he has 10 gold coins. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me. After he had said this, he proceeded on a journey up to Jerusalem. Now, you may be familiar with the story of the parable of the talents. This is a version of that. And the reminder is, and look, it fits in perfectly with the end of the church year because we're focused more on the final judgment and the judgment that we receive at the end of our lives. It fits in nicely with the first reading about the seven brothers who were willing to die for the Lord. The question we have to answer for ourselves is, are we making the best use of what the Lord has entrusted to us? Now, of course, that involves our talents, but it also involves our possessions. It also involves the money that we have. Are we making the best use of what we have? Are we squandering it? I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. What there is something wrong with is being selfish or greedy or stingy with that money. We're expected to share that with those in need. We're not expected to just hoard money and not share it with other people. And again, that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. I can't answer that for you because I struggle with it in my own life. And I think it really is an ongoing question. If there's, you know, if you're talking about any kind of a purchase that would somehow affect your relationship with the Lord, and it doesn't even have to be a lot, because you could be using that money even for your daily cup of coffee. You could be using that money to help the poor. That doesn't mean you can't ever have pleasure, but I'm just saying you have to have that conversation with the Lord. Lord, what should I do? You know, you take this, and you don't have to go nuts. You don't really have to go crazy so that you're thinking about it all the time, but you need to be thinking about it. You need to be aware of it, that any time you spend money on yourself, that's money that you could also have used to help those in need. It's not only money, it's talents. We all have gifts. We all have skills that we can use. Some people are really good listeners. Some people are good talkers. Some people are just compassionate. Some people deal well with old people. Some people deal well with young people. We all have these gifts. And don't say you don't have gifts, because everybody has some kind of a gift that you can use to help bring people to the Lord. Gifts, time, the gift of our time is another important thing. Am I hoarding my time to myself? Do I not want to get involved in helping other people? Do I not want to get involved at my parish, even though my parish may be asking for volunteers? So these are all questions that we could ask ourselves. And remember that anything we give up in this life, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's our possessions, whatever it may be, we will be rewarded when we get to heaven. That's what the Lord said. If you look through the Bible, you will never find an example of him going back on his promises. Every one of his promises has either been fulfilled already or is in the process of being fulfilled, like when he said he will come again in glory. The world is still going on, so it's not time yet, but he's in the process of fulfilling that. So he is trustworthy. We can believe that he's good for his word. Therefore, the question is, am I willing to trust him to do what he said? To give up my life, even if it's not in a literal way, in a figurative way, to give up my life so that I now live for him. Am I willing to do that? And if so, he promised that I will have a great reward in heaven. And do you believe that? And it's really an ongoing question, and it's something that is perfect for the Advent season. And as you get to know him better, and hopefully you'll do that in the next few weeks as we head toward Christmas, as you get to know him better, you'll be able to better understand or be better willing to make that commitment. And be able to look inside of yourself and see the areas where maybe you failed. It's okay. That's the purpose of doing this now. That's why the church gives us Advent. That's why the church gives us Lent. Because she wants us to have this period of time when we can examine ourselves and make some necessary changes. Let's take a look at God's standards. Today is Wednesday. Each Wednesday, I use the book My Daily Bread by Father Anthony Payone. This is a book written in the 50s. Excellent little book, one of Mother Angelica's favorite books. Today we're going to look at God's standards. And if you're new to the show, let me just say briefly, the way this book works is we get a little meditation. It's a meditation as if it's coming directly from Jesus. So we have a message that could be from Jesus to you, followed by something to think about, followed by a prayer. And here's how it goes. My child, on the day of judgment, the rags of the poor will shine more brilliantly than the fine clothes of those who love this earthly life too much. The homes of the poor will be honored more than the comfortable mansions of the rich. In that hour, the patience of my loyal followers will have greater merit than the human might of this world. Simple obedience to my laws will be more highly praised than all earthly cleverness. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that God's standards are the same as our standards, but they're different. He looks at things differently. What matters to the world right now doesn't really matter when it comes to the Lord. And one day, when we're standing before Him, when we're meeting Him face to face, we better be ready to hear what He has to say. So it would make sense if we do have this faith, if we do believe in Him, to start working on this right now, to make sure that we don't have any other false gods in our life. We don't have to call them that, but we could certainly be worshiping other things, other people. We could be worshiping comfort. We could be worshiping a lot of money in the bank, all kinds of different things. We should make sure that we're not doing any of that. In the day of truth, a pure and good conscience will bring more joy than mere learning. The man who refused to sin for earthly gain will be the envy of those who lived only for this world. You will have more consolation for having prayed devoutly than for having enjoyed earth's pleasures and comforts. And this is what we saw so brilliantly displayed in today's first reading. Somebody was willing, or seven brothers who were willing, to forego the comfort of earth, to even give up their lives in order to be obedient to the Lord. Great example for us. All right, then you will be glad of the prayerful silence you observed rather than for having talked a great deal. Good works will be of greater value than good words. Self-control and healthy penance will be more pleasing to you than all the delights of earth. So really what we are being called to do is see things through the eyes of faith. Look at the world with our spiritual glasses on, and not just with our earthly goggles on so that we just see what's in front of us. Something to think about. How different are God's standards from those of worldly men? Is it any wonder that those who live God's way seem to live a foolish life? Yet the real fools are those who disagree with God's standards. Christ is sure to triumph at the judgment, and those who follow His standards are certain to triumph with Him. And we'll close this out today by a brief little prayer. My Jesus, can I be fool enough to live by any other standards than yours? Let me embrace your standards in my daily life. Though I may find life harder, I will not complain as long as I know that your will is guiding me. Through the church and the scriptures, you promise to lead me to a happy judgment and a joyful eternity. I hope to be a loyal follower of yours each day of my earthly life. Amen. This is the challenge that we face, and this is why I do this program, and this is why I'm so glad that you join me. We live in a world that presents pleasure or material things as the ultimate source of pleasure and joy. And we all know, any of us, because I spent many years doing this, any of us who have pursued these worldly things as a source of pleasure, we realize that any pleasure or any peace we get from acquiring material possessions is fleeting. It doesn't last. And that's what we need to remember. And that's why I'm going to always try to preach that message on this show, because I think it's so critical. You believe in the Lord. Obviously, you wouldn't listen to this program. You have some call to grow closer to Him, and I commend you for that. That's a great thing. Ultimately, you're not only going to be happy in heaven if you stick to that, but you will be happy here on earth as well, even though it's a paradox. It doesn't make sense. How can I give up things and yet be happy? Well, that's because the Lord can give us His supernatural peace, which He does. And the more we give up, the more we decrease in life, like St. John the Baptist, the more He can increase. So during the next few weeks of the Advent season, let's start to clean out the clutter in our lives, so that we can fill ourselves up with Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm about ready to head on out to my speaking gig tonight, but I want to thank you for tuning into the program. If there's anything you need, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow. I hope you can join me. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening. Take care.